Blog Talk Radio.
I know the Bible is right.
It's The Bible Has the Answers with Pastor Aaron B. Williams, coming to you live every Wednesday at 7 p.m. and Never Had It So Good Gospel 107. Pastor Williams believes if you have a question, the Bible has the answers. Join us Wednesday on the show or at I Am Jesus Holy Ghost Church in Columbia, South Carolina, where service times are Tuesday night prayer at 7 p.m., Sabbath Friday service at 7 p.m., and Saturday Sabbath Day service at 12 noon. Our motto is, it pays to serve God. Hit us up at IamJesusHolyGhostChurch.org. That's Pastor Aaron B. Williams, live on Never Had It So Good Gospel 107. Come on and get the Word of God at its highest level.
This is Pastor Williams. You know I agree with that song. The Bible is right. Amen. The Bible is right. Glory to God. I love saying that every program because it is right. The Bible is right. Glory to God. I know you love it because I love it too. We're, beloved, we're in Proverbs, the 14th chapter. We had just finished up verse 30 last week, so we're going to proceed. Amen. We're going to go forward in the word. So Proverbs 14:31 says, in the King James Version, it says, he that oppresses the poor reproaches his maker, but he that honoreth him hath mercy on the poor. Glory to God. The Bible says, he that honoreth God hath mercy on the poor. First aspect of this, you know, we want to honor God. Don't you just love honoring God? Proverbs 3:9 says, honor the Lord with thy substance and with the first fruits of all thine increase. Amen. Proverbs 3:9 says that. And that really helped me in my giving, because before I was just giving money because the Bible said gives us instructions to give unto the Lord. Amen. You first start going to church, which one of the things you notice in the service? They have an offering. Glory to God. Then later on, you learn about tithes and offerings. And then you learn about different kind of offerings. Amen. But when I got to Proverbs 3:9, glory to God, it said that one of the ways we can honor God is by in our giving. Amen. Honor him in our giving. So I when I started giving, I said, Lord, I'm giving you this. I want to honor you. I want to honor you, so I want to give. Amen. And then you get to Proverbs 14:31 here, and it says that we can honor God by showing mercy on the poor. Amen. We can honor God. How do we honor God by showing mercy on the poor? Because we recognize, glory to God, is that God is the maker of all of us. Now, God doesn't necessarily make one person rich and one person poor. A lot of times people, they operate the principles that's in the Bible, and because they operate those principles, God blesses them, amen, and the blessing of the Lord comes upon them and makes them rich, amen. Glory to God. When you operate in God's principles, God honors that and causes you to have wealth, amen. But the opposite is also true. If you violate all the principles of God and you're not diligent and you won't work, a lot of times you end up poor. Amen. Glory to God. But the point is not so much the richness or the poorness here. It says, but he that honors him or God hath mercy on the poor. Glory to God. How do you honor God in having mercy on the poor? Because you're recognizing that God is the maker of the rich, and he's the maker of that man, and he's the maker of you. Now, if you happen to be wealthy and that man poor, that's another question, the wealth and the poor. The essential thing is that God made both of you. And when you have mercy on someone, you're saying, God, I'm doing this because you're the maker of both of us. Now, our station in life may be different. Our calling in life may be different. But the fact is, you made him or her, and you made me. And so because he's your creature, one of your creations, I'm going to have mercy on him. And the Bible speaks about having mercy on the poor. Why? Because why mercy on the poor? Because the poor don't have anything to offer, and that's why they're poor. They don't have anything to offer, meaning this is not a put down. I'm simply talking about a statement of fact. They have no money. They can't pay you back. Amen. They can't a lot of times, and they have a poor mentality. And then you have some poor people, if you try to help them, they turn around, and instead of being thankful, they try to use you. Amen? They try to use or abuse you. Glory to God. And a lot of times, and then with that poor mentality, they want to try to exploit you. Amen? Glory to God. And so many times we can look at the poor and say, they're there. That's their own choice. They could do things and work and come up out of it. A lot of us were poor, poor, poor. Amen. But we got with God and we worked, and knowingly or unknowingly, we worked his principles and we came out of poverty because God was merciful to us. We prayed and asked him to save us. We prayed him to ask to turn our situation around. See, the poor, they don't want to do that. They want you to give them something, and they constantly have their hand out. I need transportation money. I need food. I need clothing. My teeth are bad. I need to go to a dentist, and I got all kind of things in my body, but I really need the thing I want most is money, and I need some money. Get me some cigarettes. Amen. Glory to God. And that can turn you off. And then you can want to give to the poor, but what does your mind tell you? It tells you, well, if I give this man this money, who's to know that he won't go out and spend it on alcohol or drugs or whatever it is? He can waste the money. Then the poor being poor and not understanding what they're doing, some of them turn into con men. And they have a way to make it, but they want to make $200 and $300 and $400 a day. So they pretend that they're big, that they're poor, but really they have a lot of money. They go 3 or 4 blocks down and get in their Mercedes and drive home. But the way to make $300 and $400 a day, they get out on the corner and beg, or else they get their kids to beg, or they'll sit there with their wife. Looking very poor so that you'll feel bad and give them money. What I'm saying is there's 1,000 reasons why you could say, I don't want to give anything to the poor. You can even say, I had to make it. I had to get out and work hard. They can get out and work hard. I don't want to give them my money. Amen. But the Bible here says, glory to God, if you want to honor God, yes, there's all those reasons. And some of them are true, and some of them are absolutely correct. Amen? But the Bible here says, if you want to honor God, have mercy on the poor. They know not what they do. They know not what they do. The games that they play, the mindset that they have, their backwardness, everything that would, if you're hardworking, you know, the Bible talks about that the substance of the diligent is precious. So if you've worked hard, and you get paid, your money's precious to you. You just don't want to throw it away. Amen? And somebody that don't care, that sits around all day, every day, don't go to work, don't show any initiative, but they want your money. Amen. When your money's precious to you, You would, in the natural, you would have every reason in the world to turn away from the poor. Amen? And those are some legitimate reasons. But the Bible here says, if you want to honor God, now we're talking about God. We're not talking about that poor guy. You're not doing it for the poor guy. He has nothing. He has nothing to recommend him. But the Bible says, if you would honor God, have mercy on the poor. And mercy means, you know, you can do something to them or not do something to them. That's in your power. It's in your power. But the Bible says if you would honor God, you have all the reasons not to do it. But if you would honor God, have mercy on the poor. Yes, they're messed up. Yes, they're poor. Yes, some of them might go and buy drugs or alcohol or whatever. Amen? You can't control that. You don't know that. You put all that in God's hands. But you can't have mercy. You can't have mercy. Amen? And what's another reason you can have mercy? Because God had mercy on you. He had mercy on you. Look at his position of superiority. He's fixed. He's fixed. He don't need you. Amen? Now, he loves you and wants you and died for you, but he don't absolutely need you. He could make it just fine if you didn't give him anything. Amen? God would make it just fine. And so, but there was a time when you needed him. And he could have sat up and said, now this person might not even be sincere, and they're asking me to save them. They're asking me to help them. They're in a real terrible situation. And I could sit back and watch them stew. I could sit back and think of all the reasons why I shouldn't give to them. But what does God do? He's so sweet and kind. What does he do? He has mercy on you. Amen? He has flat-out mercy on you. Many people have cried out to God and said, God, my situation is so messed up. It's a big mess. If you can do anything, save me, God. Save me from this mess. I'm about to go down, 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 down. Amen? And God could sit up and say, they have nothing to recommend them. Their situation is so I'll just let them go. But he doesn't. He hears your cry. Amen? It touches his heart. And he knows, he understands that you don't understand what you're doing, really. But out of mercy, he steps in and he helps you. Amen? Now, please don't misunderstand what I'm saying. I'm not saying you have to go out, open up your wallet, give your rent money to the poor, give all your money and your family go hungry and you go hungry. I'm not talking about that. It says have mercy on the poor. And most times, I've had people ask me for their rent money, but that has been the exception to the rule. Most times people will receive what you would give them. Amen? So to have mercy on the poor, even though they don't deserve it. You didn't deserve salvation. You don't merit salvation. There's nothing you could do or no amount of money you could give or no amount of works or good behavior to merit eternal salvation. But God just out of his goodness gave it to you. So someone is asking you for, do you have a couple of dollars? A dollar, I'm hungry. Have mercy, amen? You got all the reasons to say no, but the Bible here says, do you want to honor God? Well, if you want to honor God, give him the dollar or the $2 or the whatever you want to give to honor God. You're doing it to honor God. That changes the whole complexion of the thing. Because before, you were trying to determine, was that person worthy to receive that money? But now it ain't about the person. It's about honoring God. Amen? And I found when a person has a real emergency, I'm talking about a real emergency, I found that what they're asking for is something small. Can I use your phone? Call 911. I'm out of gas. You got $2 I can put in my gas tank. Mister, I'm really hungry for real. Could you buy me a chicken leg? But now when you run into people who are asking you to fulfill their needs, that gets expensive. Will you pay my rent? No, we ain't going there. Amen. But I will have mercy. I got $3. Will you receive that? Will you receive that? If they say yes, fine. If they say no, fine. Amen. But here, if you want to honor God, have mercy. Have mercy. Hold on. I'll be right back after the commercial. Hold on.
Do you need tile installed in your home or business? Then John Robinson Tile, LLC, is the company for you. We have over 60 years of experience installing tile. We do bathrooms, kitchens, and so much more. Give us a call at 803-529-0092. Check out our website at www.johnrobinsontile2.com. Visit us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram, too. Just search J. Rob Tile or John Robinson Tile. We're licensed and insured and Schluter certified. If you need tile installed, we are your company. We believe in laying hands on everything that we do. That's John Robinson Tile Installation Service for new and old homes. Renovation of kitchens and bathrooms, installs all types. That's John Robinson Tile, the number 2.com.
Brothers and sisters, we're now down at the 32nd verse. The 14:32 proverb says, "The wicked is driven away in his wickedness, but the righteous have hope in his death." Amen. The wicked is driven away in his wickedness. And this is another reason why light will always win over darkness. Right will always win over wrong. Good will always win over evil. Now, evil comes in, and it's like a hurricane. When it comes in, oh, my gosh, it's full of fury, and it looks like it's going to win. When Hitler in World War II, I mean, when he started that war in 1939, they had the best planes. They had the best men, army. They had the best leadership. When you have people like Rommel and all those kind of generals, and he had the best everything, the best plans, the best everything. When he attacked Russia, he attacked just Russia, just one country, with 3 million men, 3 million. You're supposed to win if you're coming at a person with 3 million people. You're supposed to win. Amen? Glory to God. But what dictators and tyrants and oligarchs and all those people, the Alexander the Greats, the Stalins, the Lenins, the Hitlers, all those evil men back through history, how come they didn't win? They came with viciousness. They came. Okay, look at Rome. Rome's god was the god of war. They worshiped war. They studied war. They were hard. They believed in steel. They believed in chains. They believed in bludgeoning and crushing their enemies. Amen. And they had everything going for them, but they went down. All of them went down. Rome for almost 900 years, was on top. Amen. But they came down because light will always triumph over darkness. Now, when darkness first starts, it looks like darkness is going to win. It looks like wickedness is going to win. But beloved, in order for wickedness to win, in order for light to win, that would mean that darkness would have to overcome light. That would mean that wickedness would have to overcome God, that they would have to overcome God, and they just ain't going to overcome God. Amen? I don't care who they are. I don't care how many armies they have. Nobody, no tyrant is going to overcome God. And the Bible says the wicked stumble at what they know not. They don't know what it is that causes them to stumble. And they study the books, their history, to find out so that when they do their deeds, that they'll win. And every time they mess up and they try to figure out, if you've ever read Machiavelli, what is that? It's an advisor teaching statescraft, teaching tyrants how to rule their kingdoms and how to rule it effectively. But he uses a lot of wicked devices. Amen? And there's schools that teach rulers how to rob, steal, kill, use intimidation, how to rule their people. But they go down. One, look at Pinochet. Look at the wicked rulers. They go down one after, and you would think that if they read history, that they would recognize we don't win. We make a big fuss, and we make a big cloud, and it looks like a fury. We come in like a tornado, but every tornado blows out. Amen? We even got a song, Trouble Don't Last Always. Amen? Why? Because of God. Because nobody can, in order to win, in order for evil to win, it would have to overcome God. And the Bible says there is no wisdom, nor understanding, nor knowledge against the Lord. Nobody can beat God. So good always comes out on top. Now, it might look like evil is winning right at the moment, but in the long run, evil goes down. And right here, even in this verse, in 14:20-32, it says, the wicked is driven away in his wickedness. Amen? So not only does right defeat wickedness, but wickedness itself is driven away by its own wickedness. Amen? Wickedness turns on wickedness. Do you know toward the end of World War II, the Germans were shooting the Germans because they were accusing each other of cowardice and slacking in their duty, and that's why they were losing the war, because these guys weren't doing what they were supposed to be doing, so they were taking them out, shooting them. So it was enough that the Allies were shooting them, but then they started taking each other out and shooting each other. Amen? You're the cause why we're losing, so I'm going to shoot you. You're not fighting hard enough, so I'm going to shoot you. Amen? And here we have God's word. We have a promise. And it says, the wicked is driven away in his wickedness. Amen? The wicked turn on the wicked. Glory to God. And so that's wonderful. You're on the right side, beloved. You're on the right side. When you chose Jesus and made him Lord of your life, you picked the right side, glory to God, because we see that the wicked lose. The wicked lose every time. But the righteous always come back up to the top. Amen? Always light. Darkness can't do nothing unless, you know why it gets dark at night? Because the sun goes down. Light goes down. And darkness comes because there's nothing to resist it. And so it can come. But when light comes, it got to go. Darkness got to go. If I don't care if it wants to or don't want to, it got to go. When light starts to arise, darkness got to move out. Amen? And that's why one of the things we do as Christians, we simply, you don't have to fight nobody. Just give them the truth. Just give them light. Give them the truth. In the beginning, they'll fight it. They'll fuss it. They'll be angry with you. But all you do, you just keep giving them the truth. And somewhere down the line, they're going to recognize it is the truth. And they're going to come and tell you, brother, you was right. You know, you was really right. When you first said that, I couldn't see it for nothing. I just could not see it. But so-and-so-and-so and so-and-so-and-so, and it finally came around to me that what you were saying was right. Amen? Glory to God. And even in the Bible says that at that a day is coming that at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow and every tongue confess. Do you think all the wicked people want to bow and confess? But the day is coming when every knee, whether they like it or not, want it or not, agree with it or not, every knee is going to bow and say, you know what? Jesus Christ is Lord. Jesus Christ is God. Jesus Christ is the one. He is the Messiah. Amen? They're not going to like it, but they're going to bow. Amen? Why? Because it's written in God's word. The Bible says that they're going to have to bow. Amen? Because they're going to come, finally come to their senses. They're going to finally come and admit the truth. Amen? So all we have to do is dwell in the truth, because the truth can't be broken. The Bible says there's nothing can be done against the truth. Amen? Glory to God. The wicked is driven away. And ain't that wonderful? Because before the war starts, you know you win. You win. The wicked will always lose. Now, they might temporarily win. They might make a big noise and look like they're winning. But in the long run, they lose. They lose. They lose because they know they're wrong. They know they can't beat God. Amen? And that's why they hate God. They hate the Bible. They don't want to hear it because they're hoping that if they do that, that is there any possibility we could win? That's why they're so angry and stuff, because they're fighting against God. They make it seem like they're fighting against whatever the issue is. But they're really angry and rebellious because they want to try to do the impossible. They want to try to make darkness overcome light. They're hoping that some kind of way, with their fury, with their anger, that they can turn things around. And if they have enough anger, they can make enough people agree with them and come on their side. Amen? But the devil is a liar. All you got to do is just say no. You know, I received a phone call, a robo phone call, and this woman was selling something. And she said, hello, Mr. Williams, so-and-so. And I said, no, thank you. And she said, but Mr. Williams, do you know that you can so-and-so? And I said, no, thank you. And she said, but we have this offer, and today you can get it at such and such and such, and it's so wonderful, and so-and-so. And I said, no, thank you. And she said, Mr. Williams, who do you have now? Who are you using now? What service are you using now? And I said, no, thank you. And she said, well, okay, well, anyway, well, if you want our services, here's our number, so-and-so. And I said, no, thank you. And she finally said, okay, Mr. Williams. Truth prevailed. Truth. I didn't argue with her. I didn't say, look, woman, you're disturbing me. Why are you calling me on my phone? You know you shouldn't do this. Do the FAA know that you're calling people, all these robocalls? I can't stand it. No, I just stood in the truth. I just stand in the truth. No, thank you. Well, you know you can get this. It's a money-back offer. It won't cost. No, thank you. Well, but it's a time. If you get it now, you get 90%. No, thank you. Amen. All you got to do is stand in the truth. You don't have to argue with darkness. You don't have to fight and go and do all that stuff. Just stand in the truth, because light will overcome darkness, and wickedness is overthrown by its own self. Wickedness will overthrow itself. Amen. If you will just quietly be courageous, be courageous, be a soldier, be a Roman legionnaire. You know, that's what Paul fashioned us when he was talking about the armor of God. He was thinking about, he had in mind, Roman soldiers. They were trained to stand against whatever came at them. They just stood there. They didn't have to scream and holler. They didn't have to run around saying, we're Roman soldiers, and you know we're going to win, and you can't. No, they just stood there. But you didn't want to come up against them because they were trained, amen? And they knew they were going to win. They knew when all is said and done, when you got through screaming and hollering and painting your face and yelling and coming down there and you had this, that, and the other thing, they knew we're going to win. We don't have to go through all them changes because we're going to win. We got the best swords. We got the best tactics. We got the best leadership. We've had the best training. And all we have to do is hold the line and let these people scream and holler, and we'll just walk up on them and eliminate them one at a time. And we're going to win. And 99.9% of the time in the latter years, they did just that. They won. When they first started off, about the first 300 years, they were just so-so. But they came to the place where they perfected war, and they became invincible. They became invincible until they got so lazy they stopped fighting and started hiring other people to fight their battles for them, and they lost. They started losing. Anyway, God bless you. I hope that little history lesson helped. God bless you. See you next week. The Bible has the answers. Bye-bye.
I know the Bible is right.
It's The Bible Has the Answers with Pastor Aaron B. Williams, coming to you live every Wednesday at 7 p.m. and Never Had It So Good Gospel 107. Pastor Williams believes if you have a question, the Bible has the answers. Join us Wednesday on the show or at I Am Jesus Holy Ghost Church in Columbia, South Carolina, where service times are Tuesday night prayer at 7 p.m., Sabbath Friday service at 7 p.m., and Saturday Sabbath Day service at 12 noon. Our motto is, it pays to serve God. Hit us up at IamJesusHolyGhostChurch.org. That's Pastor Aaron B. Williams, live on Never Had It So Good Gospel 107. Come on and get the Word of God at its highest level.